لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no associates or partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. We'd like to begin this lecture this evening with a quick review of those points which we discussed in the last lecture. Starting with point number 57, in which Al-Imam Al-Tuhawi rahimahullah says in his book Al-Aqidah Al-Tuhawiyyah, concerning the belief of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, وَلَا نُكَثِّرُ أَحَدًا مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ بِذَنْبٍ مَا لَمْ يَسْتَحِلَّهُ. But we do not declare anyone of the people of the Qibla, the people who face the Kaaba or the city of Mecca in their prayers, we do not declare any one of them to be disbelievers due to any sin which they have committed, as long as they do not declare or to consider their sinful act to be lawful. Yani if anyone commits any sin, even though it is wrong to commit the sin, if they acknowledge that they are wrong for doing so and that they deserve to be punished, then no matter what that sin may be, whether it is stealing, whether it is murder, whether it is fornication in general, the sins, whether major or minor, do not justify declaring somebody to be out of Islam. But if they commit such a sin and then say that it is lawful to do so, then they have denied and rejected and declared to be false that which has been revealed in the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last of the messengers of Allah, has came in the Quran and Sunnah. And by declaring that Sharia or any part of it to be false or unacceptable, they have actually taking themselves out of Islam. Also, we said that this declaring the act to be lawful, it doesn't mean their commission of the act, but it means that they believe in their heart that it's lawful. Because we can say that the action of a person is an indication of what they believe. And if someone knows that Allah has prohibited drinking and they drink, then their action is in a sense a declaration that drinking is lawful. They have made it lawful for themselves by doing it. But we don't mean this. We mean the one who declares it lawful by his tongue, saying that in his heart he believes that it's lawful to do so, that it is not sinful. And concerning this also, we mentioned that it was the opinion or the position or the madhab of the Khawarij that whoever commits a major sin, even if they admit that it's unlawful and that it's sinful and that they deserve to be punished, the commission of a sinful act, of a major sin, forces that person out of Islam, and they consider those people to be kuffar or disbelievers. This was the opinion of the Khawarij, and similar to their opinion was the opinion of the Mu'tazila, who didn't declare them to be disbelievers, but who said that they were no longer believers. They were not disbelievers nor believers, but they were in a position or a status between these two, between Islam and Kufr. And in the end, we said that the opinion of the Khawarij, who said they were kafirs, and the opinion of the Mu'tazila, who said they are between these two positions, in the end, their position or their opinion is the same, because both of them agreed that whoever commits a major sin in the next life will be in the hellfire eternally. And this is really the status of a kafir. Because even the Muslim, the believer who might be punished for some sin that they committed in the next life, if they didn't repent from it or Allah didn't forgive them, they would come out of the hellfire eventually by one means or another. But no believer who testifies, who dies believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would remain in the hellfire, even no matter what their sins may be, they would eventually be released from the hellfire. The second point of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, point number 58, where he says, concerning the belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, وَلَا نَقُولُ لَا يَضُرُّ مَا الْإِيمَانِ ذَنْبٌ لِمَنْ عَمِلَهُ. We do not say, it is not our position or our opinion or our aqeedah, it is not our aqeedah that the sinful acts of someone who has iman does not cause any harm to him. We say that his sinful acts in fact does cause harm to him. In fact, anyone who commits acts of disobedience to Allah, even though they have iman, even though they believe in Allah, they believe in the messengership or the Prophet of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if they commit acts of disobedience, it causes harm to them. And this is based on the definition, which we will discuss today insha'Allah, definition of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah of Al-Iman, that iman is not only a affirmation in the heart and a confirmation on the tongue, but it is also actions that are in agreement with that testimony, that are in agreement with what you say. When you said La ilaha illallah, your actions have to agree with that. And therefore, actions being a part of iman, the one who does more good deeds, the iman increases by their acts of obedience. And the one who does acts of disobedience, their iman decreases as a result of that. So we don't say that one who has iman, his iman is not affected by his actions. We say, yes, his actions of disobedience or of obedience do affect his iman. It causes his iman to increase if it is acts of obedience or decrease if it is acts of disobedience. Those who held this position that one's deeds do not affect their iman, no matter what sins they commit, it has no effect on their iman if they really have belief in their heart, those are the murji'ah. They said that actions are not a part of iman. Their definition of iman is that it is just an affirmation without actions. The third point of Al-Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah concerning the position of Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, he said, نَرْجُو لِلْمُحْسِنِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنْ يَعْفُوَ عَنْهُمْ وَيُدْخِلَهُمْ الْجَنَّةِ بِرَحْمَتِهِ. That we hope for those who do good deeds from amongst the believers, from amongst those who testify to the oneness of Allah, we hope that those who do good deeds, that Allah will pardon them and that Allah will cause them to enter His paradise by His rahmah, not by their good deeds, but by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا نَأْمَنُ عَلَيْهِمْ. And we are not feeling secure for them, that they would be free from their shortcomings or free from the punishment of Allah. وَلَا نَشْهَدُ لَهُمْ بِالْجَنَّةِ. And we do not testify or confirm or affirm with certainty that they will definitely be in the paradise, any individual from amongst the believers. And these are concerning the muhsinin, those who do good. Concerning those who do evil, وَنَسْتَغْفِرُ لِمُسِيئِهِمْ وَنَخَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا نُقَنِّتُهُمْ. Concerning those who commit sins, we seek Allah's forgiveness for them. We ask Allah's forgiveness for the wrongdoers from amongst the believers. As for those who commit sins from amongst the disbelievers, there's no benefit in asking Allah's forgiveness for them. Because after kufr, there's no need for such. And we fear for them. We fear for those who commit sins from amongst the believers. We fear for them that Allah may punish them for their sins. As Allah, in His justice, when He calls everyone to account for their deeds, He might punish justly those who have committed sins, and He may forgive them if He will. We fear that Allah may punish them, but we do not give up hope for them. No matter how much a person's sins may be, we see clearly that they are of the corrupt and immoral people from amongst the Muslim Ummah. And their sins might be too many to mention, but still we don't give up hope on anyone from amongst the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As long as they died on the testimony of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, then we don't give up hope from the mercy of Allah, as Allah says in the Quran, and the meaning of it is that only the disbelievers have or give up hope or lose hope or have despair of Allah's mercy. And concerning this, we also said, as Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah mentioned in his commentary concerning this point, he said that in general, we understand that the believers, the muttaqeen, the mu'mineen, that they will be in paradise in general. But we don't say about any specific individual except those who have been mentioned specifically by name, either in the text of Quran or in the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for the disbelievers, we say in general that they will be in the hellfire. The disbelievers and the hypocrites, as Allah has confirmed, that they will be in the hellfire and that the hypocrites will be in the lowest place in that hellfire. Okay, this is a summary of what we mentioned last week, and also pay attention to the questions that were mentioned at the end of the handout. And those questions are, yeah, and they related directly to the discussion of these points which we covered last week. Now, okay. Today we will continue with the same general topic. And this topic actually is a very extensive topic which requires some detailed explanation. As best we can, we will try to summarize it. But in reality, it requires more lengthy discussion. And alhamdulillah, it has come to us recently that the book of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Kitab al-Iman, the actual book of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Kitab al-Iman, has been translated and is available in English. So, inshallah, we hope that in the future that book will come here to us and that we will have a chance to read from it and discuss it in detail. At some time in the future, at least whoever is able to get a copy of it may read from it to get the details of this topic of Iman. What is the definition of Iman and the ahkam or the rules or regulations or things related to it based on the difference of opinion amongst the Muslims concerning this definition. There was previously a book that was published last year entitled Kitab al-Iman, but it wasn't actually the book of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. It was a collection of some of his sayings and sayings of other people, and they put it under his name as though it was his book. But alhamdulillah, the actual book that was authored by Ibn Taymiyyah has now been translated and published. In any case, the first point that we want to start with this evening, Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah says, وَالْأَمْنُ وَالْإِيَاسُ يَنْقُلَانِ عَنْ مِلَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالصَّبِيلُ الْحَقِّ بَيْنَهُمَا لِأَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ. الْأَمْنُ وَالْإِيَاسُ, having security or confidence concerning the end destination of anyone, of the believers, that they are surely going to be in the paradise, that they will be saved from the punishment of Allah, as well as الْإِيَاسُ, يعني being in despair, giving up hope of anyone due to their sinful behavior or whatever. Both of these positions, the one who feels that someone, their self or anyone else, is secure from the punishment of Allah, or the one that feels, who believes that their self or anyone else is definitely going to be in the punishment of Allah in the hellfire, both of these positions take someone out of Islam. And it is not for the believer to feel secure about their self or about anyone else, that they are guaranteed to escape from Allah's punishment, nor that they are definitely going to be in the hellfire, because Allah out of His mercy may forgive them their sins and He might not put them in the hellfire at all. This is something that is left with Allah. Can someone take these handouts and pass them out? Al-amnu wal-iyasu yanqulani an millat al-islam. Both of these things, total confidence or loss of hope completely or despair concerning any one of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take someone out of Islam to have such a belief. وَالسَّبِيلُ الْحَقِّ بَيْنُهُمَا لِأَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ. Concerning the people of the Qibla, the Ahl al-Qibla, the Muslims, the people who face our Qibla, the Kaaba, the correct position, the way of truth is between these two. يعني between having total confidence or having total despair. The middle course is the way of the Ahl al-Qibla. Al-Shaykh Muhammad Ibn Abd al-Rahman al-Khumiyyis, rahimahullah, hafidahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, in his brief commentary concerning this point, he says briefly that verily al-amnu, or total security, from the punishment of Allah or the design of Allah or Allah's punishment or Allah's judgment, whoever feels totally confident that they will escape from such, as well as those who give up all hope from the mercy of Allah, that these two positions take somebody out of Islam, as indicated in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yusuf, chapter 12, verse 87, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رُوحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرُونَ, that no one gives up hope of the mercy of Allah except the disbelieving people. يعني no one gives up hope of Allah's mercy except the disbelievers. That means the believer never gives up hope, no matter what their position or their condition, or anyone else's position or condition, as long as they remained on Tawheed, we'd never give up hope of Allah's mercy. And that Allah, out of His mercy, might, يعني, cause that person to escape from the punishment. Also, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 99, فَلَا يَأْمَنْ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمَ الْخَاسِرُونَ, and no one feels secure and safe, completely secure and safe from Allah's design, except the people who are losers. Al-Qawm, Al-Khasirun, those who are surely losers. And meaning the disbelievers. The Khasirun are the disbelievers. So that these two things have been attributed to the disbelievers. The one who is totally confident that they will escape from Allah's punishment or Allah's judgment or their shortcomings, as well as the one who gives up hope that they have no chance, yani, for Allah's mercy to save them. Both of these are positions that are unacceptable. They are descriptions of the disbelievers. Then he says that the way of the people of truth is the middle course between these two positions. So it is obligatory on the servant of Allah to combine or to join together al-khawf, fear of Allah's judgment or ruling, and ar-raja', or hope of Allah's mercy for oneself as well as for others. For oneself as well as others. No matter what your condition may be, or anyone else from amongst the Muslim Ummah condition may be, we must combine these two ideas. The idea of al-khawf, fear from Allah's punishment, and the idea of al-raja', or hope for Allah's mercy. There is a lengthy discussion concerning this by Al-Imam Ibn Abi al-Izz in the comprehensive, extensive commentary of Al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah, which I would like to mention some of what he said, not all of it, but it's interesting and beneficial, inshallah. Imam Ibn Abi al-Izz, rahimahullah, says in his explanation of this point that it is obligatory on the servant of Allah to be khaifan rajiyan, to be in fear as well as in hope, in fear of Allah's punishment and hope of Allah's mercy. For verily, al-khawf, the fear which is praiseworthy and true, is when the is a fear that it is a barrier or a screen between the one who has that fear and between those things which Allah has prohibited. Yani when a person really has sincere, truthful khawf of Allah, it serves as a barrier and a protective force to keep one from disobeying that which Allah has prohibited. This is the fear that a Muslim, a believer, should have. And this fear is praiseworthy. As for the hope, it is the hope, al-raja', that a Muslim, a believer, should have. It is the hope that the deed which one has done in obedience to Allah, in the way of Allah, as indicated by the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a person does such deeds of obedience, that they have hope of Allah's reward. They hope for Allah's reward. No one is guaranteed that their deeds are accepted, because deeds have two conditions. It has to be done with ikhlas, purely for Allah alone, and it has to be done in accordance with the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for doing it the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's relatively easy, to know what was his sunnah and to do it. But as for the ikhlas, the sincerity of the heart, pure sincerity, this is more difficult, and therefore no one can be guaranteed. But the believers, when they do a deed of obedience to Allah, they have hope that that deed was purely for Allah and in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and therefore they hope for Allah's reward. As well, if the believer commits a sin and they repented from it, then they also have hope of Allah's forgiveness. Yani whatever sins that we have committed and we make sincere tawbah or repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we also have hope that Allah would grant us His forgiveness for whatever sins we have committed. And here he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 218, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يعني verily those who believe, as well as those who make hijrah, migration from the land of disbelievers to the land of Islam, وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and they make jihad, fighting in the way of Allah, for the sake of Allah, for the cause of the establishment of the deen, أُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ, these are those who have hope of the mercy of Allah, وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ, and Allah is forgiving, merciful. As for the situation, if a person goes to the extreme in committing sins, doing every kind of act of disobedience to Allah, and then they hope for the mercy of Allah without doing any good deeds, but just committing sins and hoping for Allah's mercy without doing anything, that would be the cause or the reason for Allah to give them His mercy, then this is self-deception and false hope and false يعني, it is a hope that is not يعني, based on reality, because Allah's mercy is achieved by the person at least feeling some sense of remorse about what they have done and trying to ask Allah for their forgiveness and trying to correct themselves and change their way. But the one who has no sense of remorse and no feeling about what they have done and just continue doing sins without asking Allah's forgiveness or making any attempt for repentance, and then they just say, but Allah is merciful, Allah's mercy is great, and Allah will just forgive me. This is false hope. This is not the hope we are talking about. But the hope we are talking about of Allah's mercy is the one who committed sin and they repented and tried to correct themselves. Then they have hope of Allah's mercy, no matter how great their sins may be. Then he mentions one of the scholars from most early generations of the Muslims who said that al-khawf wal-raja, fear and hope, are like the two wings of a bird, that when they are balanced, and even then the bird, his flying or ability to fly will be perfect when they are balanced. Yani when the bird, both wings are working properly, then he will fly properly. The hope and fear are similar to this. Yani the example of hope and fear is that the person should have both hope as well as fear equally balanced together, having hope of Allah's mercy and fear of Allah's punishment. If any one of these two wings is defective or falls short, then there will be a defect in the ability of the bird to fly. And if they are lost, then the bird will be yani, close to death. Then he mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised the people who have al-khawf and al-raja, who have fear and hope, in his saying, أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ أَنَا اللَّيْلِ سَاجِدًا قَائِمًا يَحْذِرُ الْآخِرَةِ وَيَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّي. يعني are those who are يعني, in obedience to Allah during the night, the whole of the night, سَاجِدًا prostrating, قَائِمًا standing in prayer, and having يعني, being concerned about the next life, يعني, having consciousness of the fact that we will stand before Allah for judgment, and that there is a reward and a punishment in the next life, are these, and these are the people يعني, who have who Allah praised by saying يَرْجُو رَحْمَةَ رَبِّهِ, these are those who really have hope of the mercy of Allah. يعني, those who do that which is the cause of earning Allah's mercy, that they make some effort to do something that's pleasing to Allah so that Allah in His mercy might pardon or overlook their shortcomings or their sins. And also the saying of Allah, this is in Surah Al-Zumar, that first ayah in Surah Al-Zumar, I don't remember which number it is, verse 9, and in Surah Al-Sajdah, which I think is 32, verse 16, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَارْجِعِ, that their, اللهم استعان, يعني this is an indication of the people who, it is an expression that's used to indicate the people who stay up in the night, who don't lay down and sleep, but they get up in the night to pray to Allah, يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا, praying supplicating to their Lord, خوفاً وطمعاً, having both fear, يعني fear of Allah's punishment, and طمعاً, يعني having desire or expectation of Allah's mercy. This is also a description which shows that the people who Allah is describing or praising, having the correct position or attitude of hope and fear, they are those who actually do deeds which deserve or which justify or which are the cause of earning Allah's mercy and earning Allah's reward. Okay, this is part of what he said, and actually the discussion is very lengthy. That's inshallah, yani, part of the important thing of what he said concerning this matter. So here, yani, we should just keep in mind that concerning this matter, that there are two positions, al-amnu, which is having security or confidence that one is free from or will escape from Allah's punishment or Allah's judgment, that this attitude is unacceptable, as well as al-iyas, yani having lost all hope or having or being in despair of Allah's mercy. Also, this position is unacceptable, but the correct position of the Muslims is between these two, balancing yani hope and fear. This is the position of the people of truth, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The next point, Al-Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah says, point number 61, وَلَا يَخْرُجُ الْعَبْدُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ إِلَّا بِجُهُودِ مَا أَدْخَلَهُ فِيهِ. That no servant of Allah, believer, Muslim, goes out of Iman. No servant of Allah is pushed out of Iman, out of faith, out of the يعني, circle of believers, except by obvious open denial or negation of that which caused him to enter into Iman. يعني, the thing that caused one to enter into Islam is the admission or confession of the Shahadatain. The one who says sincerely from their heart, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. This is what caused someone to enter into Iman, into Islam. And here, Imam al-Tahawi says that nothing takes someone out of Iman except the open, outright denial or rejection of that which caused them to enter Islam. Yani if someone denies the Shahada of La ilaha illallah or Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this is the only thing that takes one out of Islam. This particular point requires some explanation. It could be understood in more than one way. In any case, let us look at it. First, the saying of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Rahman al-Khumayz, Hafidhullah, in his brief explanation, he says that the mu'min, the believer, does not go out of Iman except by the nullification, the naqid, except by something which nullifies his Iman or his Islam, a naqid. And we discussed in some lectures previously the nawaqid of Islam, the nullifiers of Islam. We discussed a number of them in detail in previous lectures, not in this class, but in another course. And we should refer to those points in which some of the most important and outstanding and most widespread nullifiers of Islam were discussed, with their evidences and the opinions of the scholars concerning them in detail. He said that a believer doesn't go out of Iman except by a naqid, a nullifier, such as the one who rejects something of the issues of aqidah, of Iman, without which no one, without which one cannot be considered a believer. Yani those issues which are a necessity for one to confess or to affirm in order to be considered a believer. Yani the most obvious of them are the arkan of Iman, the usul of Iman, the belief in Allah alone, or the angels, or the prophets, or the books, or the judgment day, or qadr or qada. These are the most obvious of them. These things, if anyone denies any one of them, these things are a necessity in order for a person to be considered a mu'min. If anyone denied any one of them, then this is a naqid, a nullifier of their Iman or of their Islam. So here the Shaykh, he yani broadens the scope of the statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi. Al-Imam al-Tahawi seemed to have limited that no one goes out of Islam except by that which he entered Islam or Iman. Yani the Shahadatain But here, the Shaykh says, which is really the correct position of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the correct understanding of this statement of Imam Tahawi is that it's broader than just the denial of Shahadatain, but it might include any of those things which nullify one's Iman or one's Islam. Any one of those nullifiers of Iman or Islam will nullify his original or initial affirmation or confirmation of Islam or Iman. The nullifiers in nature nullify one's Islam or Iman. This statement of Imam al-Tahawi was meant to be a refutation of the Khawarij, who declared the disbelief of anyone who committed a major sin. And they said, if anyone steals, that's a major sin, he's out of Islam. Imam al-Tahawi intended to refute the Khawarij by saying that the believer doesn't go out of Islam except by that which he entered into Islam. And if he commits a sin, a major sin, this doesn't take him out of Islam. So his intention here was to refute the position of the Khawarij as well as the position of the Mu'tazila, those who said that a person is transferred or carried out of Iman by the commission of a major sin, and they end up in a position between Iman and Kufr, between Islam and Kufr. They're between these two positions. Both of these groups are refuted by the statement here of Imam al-Tahawi, because they said if a person commits a major sin, the Khawarij said he becomes a kafir, and the Mu'tazila said that he goes out of Iman. He's no longer a mu'min. They didn't say he's a kafir, but they said he's no longer a mu'min. So they said he does go out of Iman and out of Islam by his commission of a major sin. But in fact, the correct position of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that a Muslim who commits a sin, he is considered to be a disobedient or sinful Muslim. He is considered to be disobedient or sinful until and unless he repents from that sin. And his Iman is decreased, or to some extent it is nullified to some extent according to the sin that he commits. Yani, according to the extent or the seriousness or severity of the sin, to that extent his Iman is decreased. To that extent only, not completely. And the name or the title of Iman is not taken from him in totality, unless all of it is removed, يعني, from its root, unless all of his Iman is removed from its root. And that is not done by the commission of a major sin. Because Iman, it is in part, it can increase and decrease. According to the amount of sins and the nature of the sins, a person's Iman may decrease, but not by simply the commission of a sin, is all of the Iman removed. This is the end of the statement of Sheikh Muhammad Al-Khumayz. And here, na'am. The basic principle is that, in general, sins, whether major or minor, do not remove someone from Islam, do not completely nullify their Iman, in general. But there are some things which are called the nawaqid of Islam, the nullifiers of Islam. Those things in fact remove someone from Islam. And one of them is any of the arkan of Iman. The arkan of Iman, the usul of Iman, are those things that are agreed upon without any difference of opinion by the Muslim Ummah from the first generations until today. There's no difference of opinion about them. That if anybody denies any one of them, they're out of Islam. Of course, still, we still go back to the principle of takfir, that we don't declare any individual to be a kafir, even if they said a statement that is clear kufr, until it is explained to them and made clear that what they are saying is kufr. And then if they persist on that, that's different. Then those who have the right to declare kufr, yani the scholars of Islam, might declare such a person, such an individual, as being out of Islam. But we only say, as the scholars said, in general, that whoever says such and such is a kafir. And whoever says there are no angels, he is a kafir. But if an individual came in the door and said, I don't believe in angels, we would not immediately declare him to be a kafir. We would first explain to him and present proofs to him of the necessity for a Muslim to believe in angels as based in the Quran and authentic Sunnah. And if that person, after it became clear to them that this is really required of a Muslim by Quran and Sunnah, and they said, I don't care, I still reject it, then at that point, they would be declared by the scholars of Islam to be out of Islam. The Nawakir of Islam requires some discussion. But we are saying in general, not by any major sin do we declare somebody out of Islam. By major sins, as did the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. But we say that a person who commits a sin is called a sinner, an immoral person in Islam. We don't say that they are out of Islam. Although there are some things, certainly there are some things that take someone out of Islam, but that is after the proofs have been presented and the person has been made clear for them that what they are saying or what they are doing is actually one of those things that nullifies someone Islam or nullifies someone Iman, and then they persist in it. Imam Ibn Abd al-Izz, rahimahullah, mentions also similarly that the statement of Imam al-Sahawi here, that no one goes out of Iman except by that which entered him into Islam, he said that here he is intending to refute the position of the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. And this statement is also in agreement or in confirmation of the previous statement of Imam al-Sahawi that we mentioned last week, لا نكفر أحدا من أهل القبلة بذنب ما لم يستحله. That we do not declare anyone out of Islam from the people of the Qibla, from the Muslims, due to any sin, as long as they do not declare their sinful act to be lawful. And in this statement of Imam Sahawi here, it is in confirmation of the previous statement, which we already discussed. The Shaykh Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, Hafizahullah, also commented concerning this, and he mentioned the statement here of Imam Sahawi, and says that the likeness of those today who, like the Khawarij of the past, the likeness or the example of those today are the people who are declaring the Muslims of the Islamic countries, all of them, without exception, to be Kafirs. And there are some groups today in the Muslim world who took the position of the Khawarij, that whoever commits a major sin, that they are Kafir. Whoever rules by what other than what Allah has revealed is a kafir. Whoever accepts that government, whoever participates in it, whoever works in the government that's ruling other than by the Sharia, as a policeman, as a postman, or anything in that government, then they are all kafirs. So in effect, they have declared basically, whoever is not with them, all Muslims in all Muslim lands to be kafirs. This is present in many countries. I myself witnessed it in Egypt, where there was a group of people, not one group, more than one group, and they are very well known, who said such as what I just mentioned. That all people who work in the government, since the government is government of kuffar, the ruler is a kafir, since he's not ruling by the Sharia, and all who participate in his government anyway, they're also kafirs. These people hold this position, and they also require of their followers or their associates to separate from and to declare their innocence from all other Muslims, as did the Khawarij of the past. Then he says, Adahumullah, may Allah guide them, and may Allah forgive those who were the cause of this great deviation. And this is important to mention here, because the Shaykh Al-Albani, Hafizahullah, kind of put things in perspective, that even when we found these people deviating to such an extent and taking a clearly deviant position from the position of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, still our position towards them should be a position of concern and a position of consideration, and we should actually pray for them and not give up on them, but we should pray that Allah guide them. We should ask Allah that Allah guide them. Perhaps Allah may open their hearts, for sure, inshallah, for sure, Allah will guide some of them, as He guided so many people who were on other deviant paths, and Allah brought them back to the correct way. Inshallah, He will guide some of those. Who has the time? I don't have my watch. 7:33, please. Also, concerning this point, the commentary, which is equally important, the commentary of Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him. In his commentary concerning this point, he says that this definition, which Al-Imam al-Tahawi, or this statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi here, that no person, no Muslim goes out of Iman or out of Islam except by denying that which calls him to enter Islam, yani limiting the matters which may cause someone to nullify the Islam, limiting it to only the denial or negation of that which calls him to enter Islam, yani is requires some inspection. Yani this limiting it is not really acceptable. He says, yani the expression that he used, fihi nazar. This is a very polite way. Alhamdulillah, yani we are learning from our scholars how to discuss and how to debate and how to differ with respect for the scholars, with respect. He said that this statement, fihi nazar, that means yani it requires some inspection. We should look at it. We shouldn't just accept it immediately, but it requires some examination and investigation and discussion. For verily, the kafir enters Islam by the shahadatain. The kafir enters Islam by saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. If he hadn't previously said it, yani the person who wasn't born in the Muslim family, they enter Islam by saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. But if he had said it previously, yani somebody who was part of the Muslim Ummah but negated the Islam and went out of Islam, then they return to Islam by a tawbah, repenting from that which caused their kufr, repenting from the act that caused them to go out of Islam. Yani there are two ways that a person may enter Islam. One is the one who is originally a disbeliever, they enter Islam by shahadatain, and the other one, who went out of Islam due to some act of disobedience to Allah or some nullifier of Islam, then that person returns to Islam by repentance from whatever nullifier or naqid of the nawaqid of Islam that they have committed. Then the Shaykh, rahimahullah, says, this is due to the fact that a person might go out of Islam by other than simply refuting or negating or denying that which one enters Islam through it. Yani some, there are other causes, many other causes by which someone may go out of Islam. The scholars have clarified such in the chapter entitled Hukm al-Murtad. Yani in the books of fiqh, the scholars, and in the books of aqidah, have discussed under this title the ruling of the one who apostates. The apostasy. It is well known in Islam, apostasy. So the scholars discussed this, and they mentioned many causes or reasons that a person might apostate due to it. Not only by denying the shahadatain. So this is, it can be found in the books of the scholars under the chapter apostasy, or the ruling concerning the apostate. Amongst those things is for a person to criticize Islam, yani to deny the perfection of Islam, or to criticize the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his prophethood, that there is some defect in his prophethood sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, of those things that cause apostasy is to make mockery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the Book of Allah, the Quran. If anybody makes mockery of the Quran, and there are people who do it, or make mockery of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or anything that he brought containing the authentic Sunnah, or who makes mockery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way, as we found in some of the newspapers, even in the Muslim lands, that people make mockery of the Deen of Allah, the Book of Allah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this is one of the, this comes under the title of apostasy, and one of the causes that takes somebody out of Islam, as mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 65 and 66. قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Say, Allah is ordering the Prophet ﷺ to say to those people, قُلْ, say, was it Allah and His signs and His revelations and His messenger that you were making mockery of? لا تعتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم. Don't make any excuse now. You have indeed went into kufr after you had iman. You went out of Islam by making mockery of Allah and His signs and His messenger. Actually, this topic, yani, we discussed in detail, as I mentioned previously, in the Nawafir of Islam. Also, of those things that nullify someone's Islam is the worship of idols or false gods in any shape or form, or making supplication, supplicating the dead, seeking help from the dead, seeking aid from the dead, and similar. Yani, those who have died, who are considered to be saints or otherwise, going to those dead people as though they have some power to help you, to assist you, or to protect you, supplicating them instead of supplicating Allah. As we know that supplication, a dua, is ibadah, it is worship. In fact, in one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ called يعني, dua, described it as being the real ibadah. يعني, as though dua is the only ibadah. Showing the importance of supplication as a form of ibadah. And Allah prohibited us to supplicate anyone other than Himself. Therefore, whoever does so, supplicating other than Allah, this is an act of shirk which takes somebody out of Islam. Here the Shaykh says that this supplicating the dead or seeking help from them or aid from them, this is one of the things that nullify the person saying La ilaha illallah. Because this statement La ilaha illallah indicates that Allah, therefore whoever worships something other than Allah, they have denied their statement of La ilaha illallah. Also, from amongst those things, not only supplication or dua, al-istighatha, seeking help when one is in distress, al-ruku, bowing to, al-sujood, prostrating to anything or anyone other than Allah, al-zabh, sacrificing to other than Allah, al-nadr, making vows to other than Allah, and whatever is similar to that. Any of the acts of worship, of those things which are exclusive before Allah alone, whoever offers those things, any act of worship to other than Allah, then this is an act of shirk, major shirk, which takes somebody out of Islam. Whoever offers such worship to the idols, to angels, to jinn, to those who are buried in the grave, whether saints or otherwise, from amongst the creatures of Allah, any type of the creatures of Allah, whether human, angel, jinn, or otherwise, whoever does so, then that person has associated something as a god along with Allah, and therefore they didn't confirm or affirm or establish their saying, La ilaha illallah. All of these issues or these matters take somebody out of Islam by ijma' of the scholars. By ijma', consensus of the scholars. And these matters are not confined to what might be understood by the statement of Imam Tahawi, juhud, al-juhud bima adkhalahu fihi, yani, or juhudi ma adkhalahu fihi, yani, denial of the thing that entered someone into Islam. Yani, these issues are broad. There are many issues, not only yani, the direct denial or negation of the statement of La ilaha illallah, but any kind of denial, even indirect, that nullifies the meaning of La ilaha illallah also takes a person out of Islam. Here he ends by saying that the evidence is concerning these points and other points, other nullifiers of Islam, the evidences concerning this are well known in the Quran as well as in the Sunnah, and there are many other such nullifiers of Islam which a Muslim would go out of Islam through commission of them, and the scholars have mentioned them in the chapter of Al-Apostasy. So whoever desires may turn back to those and the points that are mentioned by the scholars concerning apostasy to see the details and the evidences of the nullifiers of Islam. وَبِاللَّهِ تَوْفِيقٌ. And the success is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the time? Okay, it is a little early, but I think I can not complete the next point. Allah musta'an. I don't know if we should continue, or perhaps there may be some questions or points. Did any no questions came? Naam. The nawaqid of Islam are those things. The meaning of nawaqid of Islam here, it means Islam in its broader sense. As we said previously, that Islam and Iman, they have a similar meaning. Whenever they are mentioned separately, if you say mu'min, you also mean Muslim. And if you say Muslim, you also mean mu'min. Yani when you say he is a Muslim, you mean he believes in Allah. He has Iman. If you say he is a mu'min, you mean that he is also a Muslim. He is submitted to Allah. When any of these terms, Iman or Islam, are used alone, separately, then it includes the meaning of the other. When they are used together in the same sentence, in the same statement, in that case they might take on some exclusive meaning. In that case, Islam more specifically refers to the outward actions of salat and zakat and fasting and hajj and things like this that the Muslim does. Action of the parts of the body that you see. Whereas Iman takes on the more specific meaning of the inner matters of the heart, the beliefs, the matters of belief, belief in the angels and the prophets and the judgment day and the matters of the unseen and so on. Okay? So when we say nawaqid al-Islam, we mean Islam in the broad sense, Islam and Iman. It means that the person goes out of Islam. They are no longer a Muslim. If they are no longer a Muslim, for sure they are not a mu'min. If they lost their Islam, they have no Iman, for sure. If they have nullified their Islam, it means they have no Iman. Yani Iman is higher than Islam. So when the scholars said nawaqid al-Islam, they mean if the lower thing has been nullified, for sure the higher thing is nullified. Naam. Here, the meaning of Iman, if we say nawaqid Iman, we mean also they have no more Islam. If they have no Iman, how can anyone be a Muslim if they don't have Iman believing in Allah? Can we say that someone still has Islam after their Iman is nullified? If they went out of Iman, that means they're into kufr. They went out of Iman completely, they would be into kufr. This is the confusion of the Mu'tazila. They said the person went out of Iman, or they went out of Islam, but they didn't go into kufr. They are in between. But we say no. They don't go out of Islam by a sin, but maybe their Iman is decreased. But if someone went out of Iman completely, then khalas, they are kafir. If they go out completely, there's no in-between station. Either they are in Islam or out of Islam. If they are in Islam and they do wrong deeds, then that means they are sinners. Their Iman is decreased by their sins, but we don't say they are kafir. But when anyone's Islam is cancelled, or their Iman is cancelled, then they are in kufr. Yes, go ahead, brother. You may ask, no problem, it is okay. Now. An apostate should be killed. But of course the circumstances It depends on whether, yani, on many things. The person who apostated, who was a danger to the Muslim society, for sure they would be killed. The person who apostated and they are not in the Muslim society, then they would not be pursued to be killed. But if anyone is in the Muslim society, in general, if they apostated from Islam, they should be killed. The ruling for apostasy is death. But if that person, for example, is in America, and they apostated, the Muslim government or ruler is not required to send anyone to America to kill them. But if they remained in the Muslim society on apostasy, they should be killed. And this happened even in our time, that some people have been killed, not only in the early generation of Muslims, but even in our time, some people who apostate, they apostated by such matters as denying those things which make it clear that they are, that they have negated or nullified their Islam, such as a person who says that it is not obligatory to make salat, when it is known without any question by consensus of the Muslim Ummah that salat is obligatory on the Muslims. But someone says, no, it's not obligatory, you don't have to pray. Or I don't have to pray. Maybe you have to pray, but I don't. Okay, either they said, they, because they reached some great height or nearness to Allah, they said, I am above the Sharia, I don't have to pray. This is kufr. That person should be killed. And it happened with one man named Mahmoud, I don't remember his full name. It was maybe 15 or 20 years ago in the Sudan. And he had a group of followers who believed also as he did, and they denied the obligation of Salat. And he was called. He was called to account for his statement or his position about the fact that Salat is not obligatory. And the proofs were presented and argued so that it became clear to him what is the position of the Islamic Sharia based on Quran and Sunnah. And if he persisted, then he should be killed. And if he repented, then he would be freed. But he didn't repent and he was killed. But it's not for every individual to take such a position. Because someone makes a statement or commits an act, we shouldn't take the position that the person is a kafir and they should be killed. But it should be left to the Muslim authorities, to the Muslim government, and to the scholars of Islam to present the proofs to that person and make clear to them, and then to give them the opportunity to repent from their position or their action or their statement, to give them a chance to repent from it. They should be given a chance to repent. And if they repented, they should be let free. And if they refuse to repent, then they should be punished according to the Islamic law. Well, in fact, brother, this is one of the things that some of the apologists of the Muslims in modern times denied, that the punishment for apostasy is death. They denied it because this idea is unacceptable to the non-Muslim, Western, so-called civilized, advanced society. But the position of Islam is that a person who entered Islam, knowing what is Islam, knowing that Islam is the truth and the way that Allah has legislated and been pleased with and chosen for humanity until Yawm al-Qiyamah, after they know such, to turn back from it, that person doesn't deserve to live. How can a person who knows Allah is their Lord and Islam is their way and Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah who delivered the final revelation and the perfect way of life for humanity until Yawm al-Qiyamah, how can they then leave that and openly declare that that religion is false or unacceptable? That person doesn't deserve to live. How do they have a right to live in this earth that Allah created for His servants? How can they have a right to live after they knew and then they openly denied? They are breathing the air that Allah created and drinking the water that Allah created and eating from the sustenance that Allah has brought out from the earth, and they are denying the right of Allah to be worshipped. As for the kafir, the disbeliever, who didn't know the truth, the position of Islam concerning the disbeliever is different because they didn't know the truth. Then the position of Islam is that they should be called to al-Islam with proof and evidences they should be invited to Islam. And if there's a Islamic state, if there's a strong Islamic state, then those people will be called to Islam. Since they didn't know the truth, they have the option to accept Islam and come under the rule of the law of Allah, or to submit to the law of Allah as dhimmi, as a person who pays jizya for protection of the Muslim state, acknowledging that the Muslims have the right to rule according to the law of Allah. That Allah, the law of Allah, is the authority in the earth. They acknowledge it, although they themselves don't want to enter Islam. Then they have the right to live if they acknowledge that the law of Allah is supreme. And they pay jizya in submission, submitting themselves to Allah, submitting themselves to the Sharia of Allah, and paying tax for the protection of the Muslim state, then they may be allowed to live. It happened in the time of the Muslims, now in the early generation of Muslims, the people of the book, the Christians and Jews, paid jizya, and they were allowed to live. They were allowed to live. But if they refuse to enter Islam, and they refuse to acknowledge that the law of Allah is supreme in the earth, then jihad should be made against them, and they should be killed as the apostate who leaves Islam should be killed. The person who is originally from the kuffar, disbelievers, they have the option to enter Islam. They should be called to Islam. They have the option to enter Islam or to submit to the authority of the law of Allah in the earth. If they don't take one of these choices, they should be killed. They don't have the right to live either. This is the real position of Islam, even though the disbelievers may dislike it. And even though the modernists from the Muslims are ashamed to say it, this is the position of Islam. Tayyip, last question, inshallah. Has the adhan been called? Does anyone know by the time? We didn't hear adhan, but perhaps it's not yet, adhan? Huh? It is time for adhan? Okay. Can anyone call the adhan so we can hear it? After your question, brother. Or now, if anyone can. Muslim? A Muslim who refuse to obey the commands of Allah and they refuse to observe the prohibitions of Allah. They don't do what they are obligated to do and they commit sins and acts of disobedience. Or they don't commit sins, but they also don't fulfill the obligations of a Muslim. They don't make salat. They don't make salat. Okay, in any case, it's not the right of any individual. It's not the right of you and I to punish anyone or to kill anyone. But it is only our obligation to remind them, to advise them, to call them to what is right, to command the good and forbid the wrong. Okay? That's our obligation. But more than that, to punish them or to kill them, it's not our right. It's the right of the Islamic authorities. Okay? As for those things about which the Muslim scholars agreed that they go out of Islam for such, then in that case, it should be presented, to the Muslim authorities, the scholars, in the case of those people who are doing such, to make a judgment concerning them. To make a judgment. As for you and I, if we see someone acting very bad, they are not committing sins, they are not drinking alcohol, they are not committing fornication, but they are not fasting in Ramadan, they are not praying, they are not doing good deeds, then we should advise them, we should remind them, we should call them to fear Allah, we should try to help them in any way, and if that doesn't work, then we should punish them by disassociating from them. Yani the Muslim community should separate from them. Make that person feel they are outside of the Muslim circle. Not declare them to be kafir. But yani hajr means to boycott them, to separate from them, to disassociate from them, as the Prophet ﷺ did in his time to those who held back, who delayed from going to the Battle of Tabuk, and then they were boycotted until Allah revealed what He revealed concerning them. So this is the position that we should take. If we see that advising them doesn't help, then we should separate from them to make them feel that they don't يعني have the friendship and the brotherhood of the Muslims. Perhaps they may come back from that punishment. But if we see that separating from them caused them to go further from Islam, then don't do it. Then don't do it. Boycotting is to bring them back to the correct way. But if it caused them to go further away, then go and pull them back. Don't separate from them, to leave them to go out of Islam completely. In that case, try to bring them back and try to help them in the best way that we can. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.